You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
I rarely, if ever, have this happen when going into a review.
Yeah.
But I have almost no idea what to say about this.
Yeah, this is, oh gosh.
I mean, I'm just kind of like, I was thinking, usually I at least have something that mildly resembles humor to start a review. But like, I was to say something like, I can think of two things wrong with this title, like wood shock. And I was like, there's no shock. And oh, actually there is a lot of wood. So that joke.
There is a lot.
Work.
Yeah.
There's a lot of trees everywhere. So I guess that doesn't work.
It made me want a woodchuck cider.
Did it?
Yeah, it did.
Okay.
I did, you know, just because I could probably use it while watching this movie.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I had been drinking, I just would have turned this movie off. I mean, that would have been the thing. It took all of my willpower.
You lost your patience
to
with it.
Keep watching it and get all the way to the end of it. I mean, if I'd had anything to drink, I would have been like, hey, I just thought of something else I need to do.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
that's not this.
I forgot I need to cut my fingers off slowly with piano wire. Yeah, that's what I was going to do.
Way higher on the priority list than this movie. Yeah.
So I guess you could say I'm not the world's biggest fan of woodchuck. My apologies. I know a lot of people were really anticipating this as it is directed by Kate and Laura Mulvey, their directorial debut, but they're two ladies well known for winning tons of fashion industry awards for their designs with various people. And it's always interesting when someone moves from one sort of career like that in art into a very different one. They're certainly not the first people who've done that or even gone from fashion into film.
No.
But I know people were anticipating this. People also, Kirsten Dunst, of course, I think is a wonderful actress and I think is only getting more talented.
Absolutely. And I love the way, I even love the way that she chose this. But this movie is not – I mean, it's clear that it's only because of her involvement that this movie even got made.
I mean, it makes me question, did Kirsten Dunst just – or was she friends with these women? Was that what happened? Because I can't see how anyone would read the script and go, oh, that's a movie I want to do.
I think she is. All I know about the background of this movie is that she actually smoked a whole blunt while filming.
Yeah, by accident.
By accident.
Yeah, she got all high and then
by
was like,
accident.
Oh, shit. Well, apparently, because there's a lot of pot smoking in this film, which, you know, you'd think, oh, well, how bad could that be? Have you ever been around a person who's really boring and then they get high and they compound that really boring? That's more like the kind of pot smoking we're talking about here. But no, there's like tons of joints being smoked in this movie. And apparently they were like, oh, at one point some people were smoking real joints. I guess this was filmed where marijuana is legal.
Northern California.
Yeah. So they have dispensaries. In fact, it takes place around a dispensary. Mm-hmm. And you know what? The plot is this. Kirsten Dunst plays Teresa, who when we meet her, we see she's at home taking care of her mother, who is dying.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a very long part of the film. Her mother dies relatively quickly. And
before the title comes on.
And we see that like it is largely in some ways an induced death, that it's helped.
Yeah.
You know, but with her full, please, I want this to happen. You know, I want to die. So we go after that. Like I said, this is the first 5 minutes of the film, all of that happening. And Kirsten Dunst is walking around kind of in a daze, smoking pot a whole hell of a lot.
Smoking pot, morning, you know.
Hanging out with the person who runs the pot dispensary, who I think was her husband.
No, that guy is her boss.
That's her boss. But then there's the other guy who seems to be her husband.
That guy's popping up a lot. He was in Green Room,
It seems like he wasn't her husband, too. And sometimes it seemed like the other guy was. I was like, wait, is she having an affair? Which one
I thought
very unclear.
I thought he was her former flame, but her boss.
But they never tell you.
No,
and then there's a younger kid too who's hanging around who clearly is really into her, but that never comes to anything either. And you're like, wait, so is she having an affair with the kid too? Because it seems like maybe she is, but none of that is made clear. In fact, The movie makes very little effort to explain anything that's really happening as she mopes around without ever discussing her feelings about her mother or what their relationship was. I mean, you're just like, okay, she's experiencing grief.
I think that's what...
And then she has occasional experiences where she gets really high, and the movie doesn't get super psychedelic. It'll have like a scene where like she believes she's floating off the ground.
Yeah,
but that's about
it. In the forest, and like I guess it's a redwood forest.
I don't know
what my the geography in this, Northern California, but
she's going to various groups of these people, hanging out with them as everyone drinks beer, and
she does. Forced to sort of socialize and be normal, I suppose. But yeah, she's clearly
she just wants to be by herself, hang out in her nightgown, and smoke pot.
Yeah, exactly. Or without her shirt on, just walking around, looking into the fridge.
Well,
and
not
jeans.
Topless, mind.
Not topless, in her bra. Yeah. Her bra and jeans. But I don't know. She's just she is in a daze. She's in mourning. I think she's also feeling a little bit of guilt.
Yeah.
Because in like the whole like hindsight factor, like, oh, I helped my mom kill herself.
Yeah, I can't imagine that wouldn't be very affecting.
Yeah.
And there's weird insinuations out of nowhere in the second half of the third act of this movie, where the movie decides to change its tone to something that I'm like, where did this even come from?
Yeah.
Like that. Or that guilt, maybe she really did do something she wasn't supposed to do with that.
She does,
that was even wrong.
She does because she's so proud. She works as a pot maker or.
Well, she works at a dispensary.
And she goes back to work because her boss says, I need you, although she really doesn't do anything that's that.
It doesn't look like the busiest place dispensary in California.
But she does do something that sort of, messes with the clientele.
Yeah.
I guess you could say.
Yeah, and it looks like whatever it is that she's doing, she's willingly doing it to herself as well.
Yeah.
But even that is not really spelled out for you. Like,
it
okay.
No.
So what exactly is happening?
I think
and there's an insinuation like someone dies because of what she was doing. And then you see them again later and you're like, wait, no, they're right there.
But then somebody else dies.
Yeah. I'm just like, in the movie, like I said, that last third out of nowhere.
Somebody else dies.
Yeah. It's like suddenly there's a murder-a-thon.
Yeah.
And honestly, this is... Like, it feels like what I'm going to call mumble scream.
There you
which
go.
Is this genre of not really horror that sell itself as horror films. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Psychological thriller.
No.
Well, this
is not a psychological thriller
at
all.
It was billing itself as that for me. That's why I was drawn to it. Because I should know better. Trailer does not a good movie make.
Yeah, it's I put it in the same category as It Comes at Night. It doesn't. Oh, sorry. I should edit in there Ron Howard saying that.
That'd be brilliant.
Yes.
Oh.
What is it? I Am a Ghost or Ghost Story?
A Ghost Story. Which I said before, this would make a good B-side to that.
Yeah, it would because they both suck.
It is a no. Come on, they're both portraits of grief. Although one is much better than the other. This one, I just thought, he's a portrait of someone grieving who's also on pot.
I will hand you that A Ghost Story is considerably better than this, although I did not care for it, generally speaking. But it is definitely a better movie than this pointless, meandering waste of time.
This movie, which virtually nothing happens, has a body count.
Yeah.
Which I find hilarious.
Which, once again, comes out of abso-fucking-lutely nowhere, and you're like, okay, movie, if you say so.
Yeah, why not? Oh, she's getting dressed to go out for a night on the town. She's got to make... Yeah, let's, why not? Let's do that.
We'll just start killing
let's go
people. What the fuck? Why
yeah,
not? Lord. At this point, why not?
Oh, she's floating in the forest now. Well, yeah, go for it.
You'd
who
think
gives
I would
a shit
be after sitting through this nothingness for this whole movie, I would have been welcoming of it. And I was just like, whatever, movie.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's too. You basically have all this stuff in here just so you have something to put in the trailer that makes it look like this might be an interesting
film.
And
congrats, guys. It worked because you got me to watch it. And,
yeah.
And, hey, you know.
I was into it. I was like, ooh, that looks like it could be good.
Yeah.
And the answer is no.
I will say, though, and I guess I'll lean to my final thoughts here.
Yeah, sure.
Like
I said, there's only so much to say about this when 90% of this movie is just her moping around in the living room, not even saying anything. So,
yeah. I will say that I do love the world because this come from two people who are, no color and no fashion, no design and no setup and visuals. The visuals in this film are really good. They do make their own, create their own world, their own universe, and they do sort of transform Northern California. Even in subtle ways, even make a dingy little rundown kitchen look artful, which I thought was really nice. I thought the way they transformed the forest was really sort of magical mm-hmm. in a way. So I do like the sort of universe they've created here. It's a shame that, you know, they failed on the story completely and mm-hmm. on the script and on the character motivations. But, you know, it is a very beautiful film to watch. And the music is really good. Just wish they'd taken the ideas further. And it's too bad because it's also well acted. I think Kirsten Dunst, even though she's given virtually nothing to do, she's so emotionally present. And, you know, you do see her character struggling, even, you know, just by her, you know, just in the way she moves and the way she carries herself, which I thought was really great. And I do love that this is not going to win any awards. I know that was the hope for it, but it continues Kirsten Dunst's, you know, ascent. Yeah. Another rung on the ladder.
Although no one is going to see it.
No one's going to see it, no, but it's going to be further proof, you know, after, you know, Melancholy and All Good Things and Fargo. I mean, she's really proving herself to be more than just a Bring It On cheerleader. But, you know.
That's what you thought about her as before? I'm like, the girl who kisses Spider-Man upside down.
Well, I almost went there. I was like, why'd she say that? Why'd she say Spider-Man? Probably because I'm not really big a fan of Raimi Spider-Man. I know.
That's a discussion for another time.
Man, we're just coming up with podcast ideas left and right. no, this is... It was an ambitious thing to try, but it didn't work. The ideas weren't there, and, you know, visuals alone can't make a good film. So I have to give this 5 out of 10... floating Kirsten Dunst in the Northern Forest. I mean,
you gave this a lot more credit than I did.
Yeah.
I felt like...
It's pretty. It's a beautiful film.
Like, yeah, but it's pretty like how photography is pretty, not like how cinematography is pretty. I don't know really anything about this cinematographer, Peter Flickenberg, but I would have to guess that he came from more of a photography background and probably recently, because it seems much more about the singular shots than it is about like...
Very
the
true.
Beauty of motion or yeah. capturing a whole sequence. Like, I just, there's a lot of like, oh, look, we think Kirsten is just beautiful, of like double exposures and lots of lens flare-y type stuff. And I'm just like, nothing here is anything I haven't seen before. And your your metaphors are so unsubtle, they're laughable. I don't see what anybody saw in this movie. And honestly, this being distributed by A24, I'm like, guys, you need to, like, we really love a lot of the stuff you pick. Y'all need to pull back. You need to pull back because you have to have story, and you keep distributing these films that don't really have a story lately. And you're like, oh, but they incorporate things from a totally different genre. Yes, but they must still be interesting. There's nothing interesting happening here at all. And while I certainly say, like I said, as treated as single shots, there are some beautiful looking moments, but just moments. Yeah. You know, there's nothing that's transcendent here at all. And a lot of the moments when they are trying to do stuff like that, like we said, the aforementioned floating Kirsten Dunst moments, are just kind of laughable. You're like, and?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that one, I'm not even sure what the fuck they were getting at.
That's sort of the end of the film. You just don't care by that point, really, do you?
I'd given up on the movie completely and utterly by then. And like I said, it's not like I was checking my phone and stuff. I was watching it. I was just fighting to stay awake.
I was looking up restaurants to eat. Just go to dinner to eat, like, after that thing was going to end. I was like, well, I'm going to
the movie
yet.
Make you high? You're like, man, I'm hungry. No. I got the munchies.
I had a friend that was like, hey, I'm in town for that. Let's go have dinner somewhere. I'm like, oh, okay, let me look up a restaurant. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, now you're floating. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I was not floating except for, like, that feeling you get right before you fall asleep. So I'm going to give this 2 out of 10 little bags of weed.
When's the last time you gave a two rating.
I can't imagine it was that long ago. I mean, I don't know off the top of my head, but you know, I think it was probably for a very different type of movie than this.
Your Baywatch movie?
I was like, Baywatch isn't as bad as everybody thinks it is. It's not good by any stretch of the imagination, but people were hating on it like it was fucking like one of those like Friedberg and Seltzer movies or something. I'm like, guys, come on. I'm the guy who's always hard on comedies, and I'm telling you that one is not anywhere near as despicable as you're making it out to be. It's just not a good movie.
But
I hate this much more than I hate The Village is my end point. Ahem.
Nice.
Underline, exclamation point.
OneOfUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Pub, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to oneofus.net and don't forget your towel.